This week on the Indiana Bible College Podcast, we have our student body president, Zach Ross.
Welcome to this pulpit, our president, Brother Zach Ross. Come and preach to us in Jesus' name.
Wow, I want to echo Brother Kilman and say I need to take Brother Gallion to dinner after that. Awesome introduction. Thank you so much. Remember, I'm on a college budget, though. No, I'm just kidding. Wow, I am so humbled to be here. And I owe everything that I am to Jesus Christ. I was thinking about him while we were singing, and I mean, it's kind of elementary, but it's so true. You know, we sing about how he's forever risen and glorified and resurrected. Nobody else has done that. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ that we have a hope that conquers death and everything else, all the adversity, all the situations that we can ever face. Jesus Christ is the only answer to that. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. And while you're turning there, I'd like to thank the staff here at IBC. I want to give honor to my pastor, Brother Mooney, and for their vision and their love for us and everything that they've poured into me. I mentioned last night, this is my fourth year here, and in some ways I can tell, but that's not a bad thing because I can tell that I've grown so much since coming here to IBC. And I challenge you, if this is your first year here, if you're a freshman, remember how you were when you walked in the door. If you give yourself wholly to God and to what his purpose is for your life and to what he has planned for you to accomplish here and for you to grow in here and for you to be transformed by here, you will be a different person when you leave. And I promise you that. And I am a walking testimony of that in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to preach this morning. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing." Everyone say nothing. "But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I'm going to preach this morning with the help of the Holy Ghost. I feel strongly to preach to you a message on this topic. Are you salty? Are you salty? Amen. You may be seated if you'll preach with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'll preach with the preacher this morning." Oh, but before we do that, can we lift up our hands all across this place? We need to ask God for his help. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach to this student body. Lord, we know that this is your word, that it's already anointed. But God, I ask you to anoint the mouthpiece right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth this morning and that it would strike the hearts of your people, Jesus. God, I pray that you'd anoint our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us, God. And I pray that you'd anoint me, Lord Jesus, this morning to preach this message, to get it across to somebody's heart, and to change lives in this house, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise for it, God. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Man, it feels good in here this morning. When I came to IBC, I had absolutely no idea about the details of my calling. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I didn't know what capacity he wanted me to use me in his kingdom. I didn't know any details. I didn't know really much even any generalities except for the fact that I felt God call me here. I felt something inside of me that was tugging me outside of the normal pursuits of life after high school. I could have went to universities. I could have studied for various marketing and graphic, all this kind of stuff I was interested in, teaching. You know, the possibilities were endless, but I felt something deep inside of my soul tugging me here, and it wouldn't let go of me. And that's really all that I had, and I felt that it was from God. That's all I had when I came to IBC. I did not know the details of my calling. And I know that I'm preaching to a body here that's so easy. You know this is true. It's so easy to get stressed out about the details of the call of God on your life. Like, what do you want me to do, God? Do you want me to preach? Do you want me to teach? Do you want me to sing? Do you want me to clean toilets? Do you want me to take care of the altar? Anything that you want me to do, God. But what is it that you want me to do? What is my purpose in the kingdom? Have you ever felt that way this morning? Wouldn't it be easier if God were to just reveal to us the details of our calling right up front? That way we can know what we're signing up for. Isn't it tempting to think that sometimes? I don't know the specific details of your calling, but I've come here with the word this morning because I do know one thing, that if you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that there is a specific purpose and a calling on your life. You are called to make a difference. You're not called to just sit on a pew for the rest of your life in some distant, uninvolved sense. There will be times of busyness and there will be times of rest in your life. But if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, you have a calling to make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. Contrary to popular belief, the Holy Ghost is not some pseudo-relaxation drug that kicks you into some psychedelic high. It's nothing that the charismatic movement, or any other movement for that matter, tries to make it. The Holy Ghost is the most active force on this earth. Hallelujah. How blessed we are to stand here this morning and say, I've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've experienced the most powerful force that can ever be experienced by humankind on this earth. I've experienced that for myself. Oh, on a real and personal level, I felt his call. I know that he's inside of me. He's pulling me towards ministry. I have a purpose for his kingdom. I'm called to make a difference. That's what we're called to do this morning, regardless of the details of your calling. Regardless of where God leads you or what God has you do, whatever capacity that you're serving in, you will be making a difference if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You're called to stand out. If you have the real baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, hallelujah, we feel him so strong here in this place today, you're called to be separate. You're called to make a difference. There is a purpose to your existence. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done up until here today. If you have the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what family you came from. You have a calling on your life to make a difference this morning. And I'm going to preach with the help of the Holy Ghost to communicate that to you. Jesus describes it like this. He says, we are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What did Jesus mean when he said that? Scholars are in debate about what Jesus specifically meant, because salt has many functions, as I'm sure a lot of you know. It's necessary for life. It adds flavoring to food. It preserves meat. Did you know that when salt is added to meat, what it does is it pulls the water out of the bacteria that's on the meat that would otherwise consume it. And that's how it acts as a preservative. It heals wounds. It melts ice. But with all of these functions, with all of these different things that salt does, all of its different purposes, all of its different capacities, all of the ways that it affects change, there is one common thing about salt. You cannot put salt on something and it not have an effect. Can I just preach to you a while this morning? If you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is impossible for you to blend in with the culture around you. And that's not because of something that we have in and of ourselves. In and of ourselves, you and I are nothing. But because we have the Holy Ghost, because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, you see, before we had the Holy Ghost, we were simply ordinary people. We didn't have anything to offer to the rest of the world because we were in the same situation as the rest of the world. We were lost. We were hopeless. We were broken. We didn't have any answers. We were part of the problem because we're sinners. But now that we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, now that we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, now that we have been filled with his Spirit and called for his purpose, we are destined to have an effect this morning. Hallelujah. We must see this as our identity, IBC. I want to preach to you so strongly today that you've got to see this as your identity. It's not enough for us to simply just pass through this world under the radar, undetected, having no effect on the people around us. Does it mean that we use our human efforts and our ways and our understandings to shove this down people's throats and to try and push and push? No, no, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that as we grow closer to God, there's something that takes place inside of us. because the Holy Ghost is active. The Holy Ghost doesn't let you stay the same. The Holy Ghost doesn't call you and then leave you as you once were. The Holy Ghost does a work inside of you. It changes who you are. It conforms you into the image of Christ. And people will notice that. Make no mistake about it. They see our joy. They see the peace inside of us. When we go about our daily lives and we walk with God and we grow closer to Him and we dwell in His presence and we take in His word and we hunger and we thirst after righteousness and we're conformed to the image of Christ, people notice. They see Christ in us. That's the objective. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you could be saved from hell. But not only that, though. He uses that. He uses the process that He does inside of you and I, the change that He makes happen in us by His Spirit and His Word. He uses that to reach the lost. That's why Paul said that we are living epistles known and read of all men. Trust me, they see our example. The people in the world see the way that we dress. They see the way that we carry ourselves. They hear our voice when we talk about important issues or when we don't. When we talk about issues of morality or when we don't talk about issues of morality because we're too afraid of what people might think. That's why I get nervous when people start making comments about people who talk about issues that affect our day on media outlets like Facebook and even in the pulpit. We have to take a stand in this hour, folks. We have no other option. Because people are listening to us, but they're also listening to other voices. You see, we're not the only people who are trying to make change happen on this earth. No. There are several others. There are several other people who are wanting to make change happen in their world. But the problem with that is that they're trying to do it on their own terms. You see, I believe that people, in a sense, want to do good. They want to do good in this sense. They don't want to be told what's good and bad. They want to figure it out for themselves. And that's a temptation that all of us face in our flesh. We don't want to conform. We don't want to be told a standard of right and wrong. We don't want to be told the difference between good and bad. And so, without the help and guidance of God, who is the only standard for good and bad, we start to make up our own theories, our own formulas, our own answers to the problems that we see in our world. And what ultimately happens is this. They try to be the salt of the earth, but people who want to define good and bad on their terms and make it relative, They try to make change for the good, but it's based on their definition. And so it usually ends up being inconsistent, and it doesn't even have any real impact on society as to improvement or being actual good. I'll give you an example. The people for the ethical treatment of animals, they like to harp and gripe and complain about the condition of animals in our society and in our world. You know, save the bees, save the fleas, save the whales, save those snails. You know, they're all about that. But they don't take into account, they don't make a word, a mention of the thousands of human children that are murdered every single day in people's wombs. No word about it. Oh, we need to protect animals, but human beings, nah, that's all right. You can go ahead, do what you want. It's your body. It's your choice. People want to talk about how poor people are in our country, but yet they offer no real solution to get them out of their situation. People want to talk about how people have no money, and they have no jobs, and they have no resources, but yet they offer programs like socialism and leftist Marxist ideologies that don't even help people get rich. They want people to stay in their poor condition, and so they sell this lie to them. They try to make change happen, and I don't want to get bogged down into all of that, but people who lead those movements, they know what they're doing, but people who otherwise don't know, they just grab on. They grab onto the lie, to the deception. And they incorporate it into their thinking, and they think, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, that's different, without even really analyzing whether or not it helps people. People try to talk about how homosexuality and other forms of perverted lifestyles are great for society, that they're just as acceptable as any other form of marriage, and yet they don't do their research when it comes to all of the data that we have about how homosexuality and perverse sexual lifestyles disintegrate a society. They cause a society to fall. I mean, you can't even propagate a society with homosexuality. In one generation, you could wipe out the human race. And so they don't do their research. They just think, well, it's good. It's good. And then even more movements in our world that try to say that they have an answer, but they want to do it on their own thinking, on their own terms. You see, people often formulate and follow good ideas and truths, but they're flawed inwardly, and they need direction. That's why we are the salt of the earth this morning because we actually have an answer. We can't change the world on our own, boys and girls, but with Jesus Christ, we have an answer. You see, with Jesus, we have an answer to the sin problem, because that's really what the problem is with our society, isn't it? That people are broken, that people make bad choices, that they don't take responsibility for their own actions. We have an answer to that. We have an answer to brokenness in our society. We have an answer to sorrow. We have an answer to grief. We have an answer to hopelessness. We have an answer to fear and to anger. And it doesn't come from us. Hallelujah. I can't solve the problems in this world. This world doesn't need another politician. This world needs you to preach the gospel. This world doesn't need another social activist movement who tries to sell us some kind of deception and lies about how to fix the problems in our society. They need you and I to take this word and to be anointed and to preach the gospel to sinners to save them that which were lost. That's the answer. The only answer. Jesus didn't say that you're one group among many equally effective social groups in the world that's going to make active change for the good. He didn't say that at all. He said you are the salt of the earth. Hear me, people. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you're called by God for his purposes, you will make a difference in your world. Not of your own accord, but by the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. I don't bring to the table my own philosophies to try to fix the brokenness in our urban communities and in our world at large. I don't bring my own intelligence. I don't bring my own intellect. I don't bring anything of my flesh or of my power. I bring the word of God to people, and I offer an invitation to encounter a real and a living God. That's what the answer to people's problems is. That's why we have the theme Empowered this year. Because we can't do it in and of ourselves. But oh, hear me, my friends, my colleagues, my fellow students. The fact that we have the Holy Ghost mandates that we are empowered. But it's not just having the Holy Ghost, it's walking with him. It's pursuing him daily. It's saying, God, how can you use me? How can I be submitted? How can I follow your direction, your plan, your will for my life to make a difference in the world? We are not working alone, folks. We have the power of Jesus Christ. And if we will submit ourselves to his word and to his direction for our lives, if we'll spend more time in the prayer room than we do playing video games, come on. If we spend more time fasting than we do gossiping about people at our school, if we spend more time listening to our instructors as they preach and not just teach, sometimes they preach too, as they give the word of God to us, not just the word, but their experiences, their life stories, where God has brought them, how God has helped them, how God has moved in their lives. If we'll pay attention to that in class more than we sit on our phones and play games and check our social media. Man, what can God do through us who are humble, who are willing, who are submitted, who are obedient to his word and to his call? And not just that, though, people who act like it. Because you see, there's a danger in being the salt of the earth. It's not enough to just tell you that you have the power to make a change in your world, although that's good. Jesus gives us a warning here in this verse, and I feel compelled to bring it to you this morning. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Folks, we're talking about big stuff here. As Brother Kilman says, this is not small potatoes. This is the real deal. If the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. How does salt lose its savor? How does salt lose the one thing that makes salt salt? It's an enduring mineral. I mean, it melts at 1,474 degrees Fahrenheit, and yet it still retains its chemical composition. It can be stored for long periods of time. Salt can be dissolved in water, but it still retains its quality. It's only when salt reacts chemically, hear me now, with another substance, when it becomes contaminated, if you will, that salt actually loses its saltiness, that salt loses its savor, when it becomes contaminated by an outside influence. You say, well, how do we lose our savor in this day and age? Well, we can start by compromising our doctrine. We can start by compromising the core beliefs that were laid down by Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets. We can start talking about how the essentiality of the Holy Ghost isn't real. We can start talking about how you don't have to baptize in Jesus' name. We can start talking, come on. We can start talking about how, you know, it doesn't really matter what version of the Bible that you read. We can start talking about how, you know, we don't really have to do our research into the manuscripts that make up the Bibles that we read so that we can know if we're reading heresy and manuscripts that were edited by men or the actual word of God, which is essential to our faith. We can start doing that. That's how you can lose your savor. We can start compromising our principles, the way that we behave, the rules that we follow, the things that we do, the people we hang out with, the places we go, the places we don't go. We can start compromising our lifestyle as a whole. But not just that, folks. To lose its savor spiritually, I've come to tell you that we can also compromise our motives. Because it's real easy to get involved here at IBC, trust me, and to not actually do the things that you're doing for the right reasons. When we put the flesh in this, everything's lost. When I start singing for my own glory, that's a problem. When I start preaching for my own glory, that's an issue. When my motives become corrupted is what we're talking about here. When I start reading books because I want to really look smart and I want to look intelligent and I think that's how I can win people, that's a problem. We're not going to be able to do that. Come on, folks. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you here? Why do you get up and go to class in the morning? I'm asking you to reflect on your own heart and soul. When we put the flesh in this, our savor is lost. The one thing that makes us the salt of the earth cannot be in and of ourselves. It's impossible. The world doesn't need another great singer. The world needs an anointed singer. The world doesn't need a great orator. The world needs an anointed orator. The world doesn't need you to give a great thesis and a great composition of all of your wonderful points and intellectual arguments. They need you to be anointed. Ah, Jesus, touch us. They need us to be anointed. That is the one thing that makes us salt. And what's the end of all of that? If we start focusing on our runs, when we sing more than actually singing under the anointing. If I start in my sermon preparations, if I start thinking of ways to impress you and ways to make you go ooh and ah, but I don't actually touch on the real issues that are affecting our world and the answers in the Word of God that we have, it's all for nothing. That's why Jesus said, if the salt loses its savor, oh, hear me, somebody, if the salt loses its anointing, if the salt loses the reason why it's even in the ministry at all, if the salt loses its motives, if the salt loses its submission, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. If you'll stand with me this morning, if the musicians can come. I haven't preached long, but I felt to deliver this to you this morning. It's good for nothing if it doesn't have its saltiness. I'm here to make a simple call and a declaration to you this morning. Are you willing to maintain the savor of your salt? Put more eloquently, are you salty? You got to wake up every single day and ask yourself this question, folks, because the temptation is going to come for us to lean on our flesh a little bit when we're not really feeling too spiritual. The temptation's going to come to focus about how everybody's looking at us when we preach and how everybody's looking at us when we sing, how everybody's focused on us and what that means for us. But we can't do that. The temptation is going to come to you, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to lose your savor this morning. You don't have to lose the one thing that makes you different from the rest of the world. You don't have to blend into the culture around you. You don't have to be silent on important issues. You don't have to be silent because you have the answer. See, it's when we lose sight of that answer that things start going haywire. Because sometimes we can think in and of ourselves that we have the ability to solve the world's problems. Folks, we don't have a clue what to do in our world today. Let's be real with ourselves this morning. But He does. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants us to submit ourselves to Him like we never have before. He wants to talk to us about what He has for us to do for His kingdom. He wants to communicate to you and I about the details of our calling. But first, we've got to make sure that we've got the right mindset before that can happen. Because if we try to do this in our flesh, if we try to rely on ourselves to get the job done for the kingdom, it'll be for no good. We will be trodden under by foot of men. But that doesn't have to happen this morning. I was studying for the sermon, and in one of the commentaries that was mentioned in an article I was reading, a scientist was perusing his way through the Middle East and looking for salt. He was trying to research about salt in the Middle East and how it could lose its savor and that kind of topic. And he said he found this area of salt in a rock bed, and the outside of it was compromised. It wasn't salty anymore. It was too affected by the elements. It was too affected by being mixed chemically with other substances that it shouldn't mix with if it wants to stay salty. It had been completely compromised. No salt, no effect, no savor. But the inside of that little compound, for lack of a better word, was absolutely, purely salty. It had retained its savor. Why? Because it had been connected to the rock. Folks, in order to maintain the savor, in order to maintain the anointing, in order to maintain the effect on the culture around us, you and I have got to be so connected to the rock in this hour. And that's really all I'm asking you to pray this morning, is God, help me to be closer to you than I've ever gotten before. Come on, I think if we make that our objective this year, that'd be a worthy objective. These altars are open. You can come and pray. I want the Holy Ghost to move this morning. Come on, Lord, I don't want to distance myself from you. Jesus, I don't want to compromise my doctrine. I don't want to compromise my motives, Lord.
Myself away,
I want to be in this for the right reasons.
So
I want to have an effect on the culture around me. I want you to move through me, God. I want you to anoint me, Jesus. Oh, touch us, Jesus. Touch us, Jesus. Keep your hand on us, Lord.
Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away so you